Welcome. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. So let's worship the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, we do lift up our hands. We lift up our voices this day. We worship you, Lord God. We welcome you right now in the name of Jesus. We welcome you into this presence. Lord, your word says where two or more are gathered that you are in the midst. And we thank you that there are more than two or more that are here. Father, I pray for safety as the folks that are still coming on the road. Pray for safety for them. And we pray for all the other bodies across the United States and even the country, the world. Lord God, that as they're worshiping you right now, we pray for those other churches, those other missionaries, those other believers, wherever they are, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you this day. In your name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so I'm not going to jump right into the song. I just want to talk for just a second. I was practicing this morning. And I was just reading the words, "Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame." And I was thinking about, when I was living, obviously not now, but when I was in the sinful life, how long it took me to actually surrender that. And I used to think, oh, I'm just too bad. Like, hey, I'm never going to be good enough for God. I got to get right. That never works, You just have to come to the Lord. But I was just thinking about, I would feel so full of shame because of everything that I had done. And that really does keep you away from the Lord. When you hold on to that shame, when you believe the lie that God's not going to forgive you, but you have a freedom when you come to Him. And so I was thinking about if there's anyone here that is caught in that lie still. That you guys, I would go to church too. I was really seeking the Lord. But then I would leave church and go do all the stuff that I wanted to do still. And if there's anyone here that's caught in that lie of inward shame, I just pray right now, Father, help them just to break free. No one is going to be perfect before you. There's no possible way. But Father, what we can do is we can come before you and we can ask that forgiveness. And I pray it right now, Lord, that not only do we ask forgiveness, but we also want to turn away from that sin. God is going to forgive us when we make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we just go and make those mistakes because, hey, God's going to forgive us. It's kind of like I was thinking about it a couple different ways this morning. I'm sorry, this is long-winded. But I was thinking about my kids. Sometimes I'm always threatening my kids, hey, if you do that, I'm not going to let you play PS4 or this and that. And what they always say? And they're right, but they're always like, ah, she'll forget. and in a way that's kind of funny, but in another way it's kind of like, what about that respect here, And I was thinking about how we are with the Lord. We know He's going to forgive us, but if you have a spouse, we're the bride of Christ. If you have a spouse that's constantly cheating on you, it's like, and you're so in love with them, and they know that you're going to forgive them. But how sad is that? How sad is it to be like, they're going to forgive me. I can get away with it, And I know that sounds kind of deep and kind of strong, but that's what I was thinking about this morning. Not only can we be free of the shame, but it's not only, God's going to forgive us anyway, so I'm just going to do it. It's kind of like, Lord, I love you. I want your love. I want your forgiveness. And I actually want to change. So as we're singing this morning, and me too, I have, as I always tell you guys, I'm guilty of attitude all the time. So as we're singing this morning, I don't want to just be praising God, but come to Him and say, Lord, there are so many things that I just want to get rid of. Father, just help me be an overcomer. Help me get rid of these things. And He will. You just have to be willing.
Our eyes upon the cross and
Father, if there's anyone feeling a little bit dead here this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that you just bring them into your freedom, Lord. Help us to come awake. Help us not to be asleep in this world as Christians, Father. Help us to get away from ourselves, Lord. I find myself sometimes thinking, woe is me. What about me? I have all this stuff to do. Father, help me. When that train of thought comes into my head, I pray, Father, that you bring someone to my mind that might need something. Whether it be encouragement, Lord, or even practical things, Father. They might need something from the grocery store. They might need their house cleaned, Lord. Help me to get my eyes off of me, Father.
Cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that is still bound by those grave clothes, by the things that have happened in the past that have been done to them or that they have done to others, or sins that cannot be let go of because they think they are just too deep. May we realize, Lord, that the blood of Christ is more powerful than anything else in the universe. It is done. today. It is gone. It is done. May we just loose all of those things to let Him go. Jesus.
Person, but not just a good person. It's someone that's set apart. You know, as we were playing, the verse that comes to mind is about love and how love is patient. It's kind. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Love is patient, kind. Now I can't think of everything at the moment. But that is actually, that's my life verse. That's my favorite verse because growing up, I just never knew true love. And I looked for it everywhere except for the Lord. And when I learned that verse that I can't think of at the moment, It blew me away because I use it in daily life. I use it with my husband, with my kids. And it's because I love God that that verse is so much on my heart. Am I being a patient person? In this situation, am I being rude? Am I trying to be self-seeking? Is this going to benefit me? Is that the only reason I'm doing it? So, Father, I pray that as we seek you closer, Lord God, and as that we realize, you know, we stand before you. At the end, I don't get to blame anything on my husband. I don't get to blame anything on my parents, how they messed me up, or how this person did this to me. Father, what I do before you and in my life now, from this moment on, Lord God, that's it. And you're the only person that I have to please. And as I'm wanting to please you and get to know you even more, Father, that light is going to show throughout. I'm going to be a better person. So, Father, I pray for everyone here, Lord God, that's what we want, Lord God, because if anyone's been in this walk for a while, we know that, it doesn't naturally come to us to just be nice to people. Well, at least not for me. The Lord has changed me. And I thank you for that grace and that love that only you can provide, Lord, because that's what you provided for me, Father. I give you this morning, Lord, and I pray that your spirit does just run so freely here, Lord God. And we ask you to teach us, Lord, and rebuke us, but love us and heal us and all these different things. In Jesus' name.
Theme all morning from just the prayers and the word and the worship is just freedom, slavery and freedom. And so, Lord, we just want to give you this time, Lord. You know that we can be knuckleheads, Lord God, to the nth degree, Lord, but we know that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. Or our sin abounds, your grace abounds more, Lord God. And so, Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, Lord, because we leak. Lord God, we're leaking vessels, Lord God. Lord, just come upon us, Lord God, and fill us with all those things that Amster said, Lord. Just love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Lord God. All those things, Lord God, that we may speak, look, be who you want us to be, Lord. That you may be the reason, not just for the season, but for our living, Lord God. That your righteousness would shine like the noonday sun, Lord God. That people would look to us and say, even with all our faults and foibles, Lord, they would look and say, man, that there's something about that person. They're a light. I don't understand it. I want to know. And then we can say, it's Jesus. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, with our attitudes, our shortness, our pressures, our laziness. You know all the things, the sins that entangle us, Lord. But help us to run free in the path of your command. We do give you this time. I ask that you would anoint it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would even lead what we're supposed to say, Lord, because honestly, Lord, you know right now it's a jumble in my mind. So you're going to have to please organize everything, Lord God. I like it when it's all neat and organized already for me, and sometimes it's not. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask that you would do that, Lord God, even with the illustrations, Lord, and just everything, Lord. Take control of what's said. What's talked about today from start to finish. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Okay, praise the Lord. Well, a couple quick things just so you guys know. You guys know we teach the Bible here verse by verse. We're going to be going through the book of Romans shortly. We do have a loaner library back there. You guys already know that. But if you want to grow in the Lord, we've got Christian books, audio CDs, family DVDs in that back room to the left. You can loan it out, check it out for a couple of weeks, grow, put it in your car, whatever. We've got prayer here Sunday mornings around 9:30. If you'd like to come and just pray over the body, over the community, we welcome you here. Also, we got men's Bible study this week. Well, Gary usually sits there. Sorry, I'm looking at you. Gary, where there you are. Gary, anything you have to say?
Pizza and a study on prayer.
Okay, pizza and a study on prayer. And that's this Tuesday at 6 p.m., 5:30. If it's not raining, we've got Frisbee. And 6 p.m., we eat. And at about 6:30, thereabouts, we go and get into the Word. Also, the Whosoever's Youth Group is meeting at Mendy County Youth for Christ on Wednesdays at 6:30 to 8:30. Heard Josh did a great job last week on the vitamins that we're supposed to take as Christians. And then in September, just kind of be preparing your heart. We need helpers. The Thursday night family barbecue and Bible study. We're going to be going a little bit more in depth into the Old Testament. That'll be roughly from about 6 to 8 p.m. And so just be in prayer for that. And also, if you would like to help serve that night, we'd love to have you. Is Kingdom Living, or is that prayer? That's right. Friday night prayer, Tom Murray.
Correct.
That's this week. Okay, so Friday night prayer from 6:30 to about 8, and that's this Friday. Just meet here if you would also just like to pray over the body of the community and for the needs that we have. Okay, also, man, I just got to tell you, thank you just so much for your prayers for the Shepherd's Heart Christian School. It's a little bit overwhelming. I think the school's actually starting next week, and actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're full. Or one student away from being full already. So that was supposed to be a little bit down the road, but apparently it's happening right now. But I just want to tell you, it's amazing. It's a total God thing. I got to even tell you real quickly with the scholarship thing. One of the things we got are some scholarships or Step Up for the kids and the kids scholarships to help some of the kids. And we've been calling. We were with another school, and my wife had been calling this one person, probably a super nice person, but literally for 4 years, okay, of working with this person, they've only got one callback, okay, in 4 years. And so, but we needed to talk to this person for the scholarship. So scholarship deadline's coming up. You know, it's just another one of amazing God things. And literally, we called every single day for at least a month or two. In June, January, every single day, sometimes twice a day, never got a call back. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding. And I know they have got tons of territory and tons of. So now it's the day before the deadline. And so we call up and we happen to get the person on the phone. And at first, honestly, quite frankly, it was very short, very curt. But then after we started talking, it's like God just like opened the door. And the day before the cutoff, everything opened and they got us online. We talked multiple times and we got it. And not only that, that opens up. Once that opened up, the day before, the very last day, once that opens up, you have to do all this other stuff for this other scholarship thing, which we didn't know about. And so we got a hold of that person. This is the very day of the last day. We're down. We got it in. They even said on the machines, people have told us they're not going to return calls because they're just too busy. You know, there's too many schools calling, too many. They just expect no callbacks during this time. That's what they have on the recording. And so, of course, we just did it anyway because, and they got back to us immediately. And no kidding, an hour before the close, they got everything set up. It was a miraculous thing. In fact, they even gave us an extension in some areas so we could take some training that we found out we needed. So God's just doing a big work. Please just pray because it's an amazing thing, but it's also a big undertaking. So please continue to pray for that if you would. Okay, Romans. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And Chris, would you mind delivering off you? Oh yeah, has Guy, you grab some too? You will need a Bible here in our church. We're in Romans chapter 6. We just finished up with Romans chapter 5. We talked a lot about hope. We had some big words. Justification. Remember that term? It's a legal term. Like we're declared righteousness. you're declared righteous. Justification means justified, never sinned. That's what Jesus does for us. We talked about faith. We talked about what we get from that. We get peace from God, and we get peace with God. We also talked about being able to then approach God and to stand before Him, to choose joy in the midst of our suffering. We talked about perseverance and how we can rejoice in our sufferings, our solipsis, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. We talked about how much God loves us. And then we went into the second half of Romans chapter 5, and we talked about the atom bomb and the atom bomb. How through one man's sin, death and sickness and entered the whole world for us. And so we talked about the comparisons and contrasts with Adam and Jesus. We talked about death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. We talked about the ruin of mankind by Adam's sin, the rescue of mankind through Jesus Christ, and then the reign of mankind in those last few verses. And so as we get into chapter 6, we also talked about basically you're part of two different families. You're either part of Adam's family, which is sin and death, or you've been born again into a new family, and that's in the family of God. So we left off with grace, talking about grace in those last few verses, which is basically God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I didn't know what to title this, so I actually made two different things in Romans 6, two different titles here. Change from the inside out, because that's what Jesus does. It's not simply just a change in your behavior. It's not just a change, although that will come. It's a change that comes from the inside out. But I thought this one was going to be better. Romans chapter 6, 1-14, dead to sin and alive to God. Slavery or freedom, because that's our choice. So, Hans Kevin, can you hit those lights for just a second? Thanks. The one that turned over. Thank you, son. Fantastic. Hey, before we start that, back in the when these letters were written, there weren't chapters and verses. That was added to help us to be able to look up stuff or to know where we're at. Okay, so there wasn't really a page break here from, like, it didn't say chapter 5 and then go to chapter 6. So I think we need to read the last few verses of Romans chapter 5, the last two verses. I think that's 20 and 21. Because what Paul's going to do in Romans chapter 6, he's going to start off asking a question. And it kind of refers back to the previous verses. So, Gary, would you mind reading Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 for us?
The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right. And so basically what he's saying is, there's no sin. Just like somebody was saying, I think it was Amster, there is no sin in your past. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that's been done to you or that you've done to yourself or that you've done to others that your God can't forgive. That the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you from all sin. All sin, not some sin, all of it. That's your God. It's the most powerful thing in the entire universe. That's the grace of God, His forgiveness. But not only His forgiveness, His empowerment. And so Paul, and he's in the next few verses in Romans chapter 6, 1-2, he's asking a rhetorical question. He's going to ask a rhetorical question that somebody like me, when I was unsaved, would have asked. Well, okay, those last verses in Romans say, because I would always try to find a little, kink in the armor, chink in the armor, whatever you want to say.
Loophole.
And so, let's see, if where sin abounds, grace abounds more, that means that I can just sin all I want, right? And God's grace will abound more. So he's thinking in his own mind, I bet somebody might ask that question. Right? And so, as we start off in these upcoming verses that we're going to go over, Paul's going to start by asking in a minute a rhetorical question. And that question is basically this in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And verse 2 says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And so in this next chapter that we're going to see here, like in Romans chapter 5 or 1 to 5, basically it tells us that we're dead in sin, that there's pretty much no hope without Jesus. And now here in Romans chapter 6 through 8, it's going to tell us we're dead to sin. Like Romans chapters 1 to 5 tells us how we can be free from the penalty of sin. And Romans 6 through 8 is going to tell us like how we can be free from the power of sin. That it doesn't have to be have a hold of us. And so Paul starts with that question. And I, that's right, I forgot about that. Before we even get into it, though, this is a, you guys are have to first be looking. You know those pictures that everybody shows from their vacations that you really don't want to see? This is one of them. Okay, this is from a vacation I took up in Virginia. We went to go see, I like history and military history. And this is the Appomattox Courthouse. Anybody know what happened there? Oh, hey, good.
That's where we surrendered to Graham.
Absolutely correct. You get an A. Woo! I'll hit the lights just for a second. This guy's not again. That is correct. On April 9th, 1865, that's where Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Army surrendered to the Union Army with Ulysses S. Grant, virtually ending the Civil War there. And there was that was pretty much where the last battle was fought in the Civil War. And how many of you guys have heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? Raise your hand. Okay, wow. Okay, does anybody know what that is?
Free the slaves.
What? Free the slaves?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Good. Absolutely. The Emancipation Proclamation was a presidential proclamation and an executive order issued by President Abraham Lincoln. And in one single stroke, it changed the legal status of millions of enslaved people in the land from slave to free. And so, at the end of that Civil War, and during that time, this Emancipation Proclamation was given. And so, there was a man by the name of Booker T. Washington. And he was born a slave, and he wrote, you can read it, but anyway, because of his family's poverty, he was forced to start working at the age of 9 in a salt furnace and a coal mine. And he wrote a book released in the 1900s through The Outlook, which is a Christian newspaper of New York, and he wrote an autobiography called Up from Slavery. And I want to read something to you, if I can. And this is his words, okay? This is Booker T. Washington growing up a slave and being there when the freedom was given and freedom was announced. So this is his words. Put that light for a second again. That's good. Thanks. My old eyes. So just bear with me. I don't usually read a lot, but I am going to read it this time, so try to stay with me. This is his words from the book, Up from Slavery. The most distinct thing that I now recall in connection with the scene was that some man who seemed to be a stranger, a United States officer, I presume, made a little speech and then read a rather long paper, the Emancipation Proclamation, I think. After the reading, we were told that we were all free and could go where we please. My mother, who was standing by my side, leaned over and kissed her children. And while tears of joy ran down her cheeks, she explained to us what it all meant, that this was the day for which she had so long been praying for, but fearing she would never see. And then, he continued on, in time, after the final surrender of the Confederacy, on December 18, 1865, the news swept across Capitol Hill, down Shenandoah, over the Appalachians, along the back roads of the Carolinas, to Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, and the word was out, slaves were free, at least officially, at least legally. But the practicality of freedom was another matter. wild rejoicing on the part of emancipated colored people lasted for a brief period. For I noticed that by the time they returned to their cabins, there was a change in their feelings. The great responsibility of being free, of having charge for themselves, of having to plan and all these things, it happened so fast. It was overwhelming. It was very much like suddenly turning like a youth out into the world to provide for himself. And there were questions about home, about living, rearing children, education, citizenship, establishment, supportive churches. And was it any wonder, he says, that within a few hours, the wild rejoicing ceased and a feeling of deep gloom seemed to pervade the slave quarters. To some, it seemed now that they were in actual possession of it. Freedom was more serious thing than they ever expected to find it. And it goes on to say, some of the slaves were 70 or 80 years old and their best days were gone. They had no strength to earn a living in a strange place among strange people. And even if they had been sure where to find a new place to abide, they wouldn't know how they would make it. And so he goes on to say, besides that, deep down in their hearts, there was a particular attachment to the old master. And it says, with these, they had spent a long time with, nearly half a century. And gradually, one by one, stealthily at first, some of the slaves began to wander from the slave quarters to the big house to have a whispered conversation with their former owners about remaining a slave. And after a brief conversation, many former slaves returned to the field to continue to serve their master. And though officially free to go anywhere, little changed in a practical sense. Legally, they were free, but they were slaves. They had the opportunity to live as free men and women, but turning their legal status into an actual experience required an internal transformation. And those who found the challenge too daunting chose the uncomfortable familiarity of going back to slavery instead. And you know, for some of us, that might seem really foolish to go back and choose that slavery, you know. But let's be honest here. You know, for those of you who have been born again by the Spirit of God, you know, some of you, some of us right here in this room, choose to live in bondage and in slavery to that sin, even though you're pronounced free. You are legally free, just as if you've never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Yet you choose to live. We choose to live under the bondage of slavery. Why is that? Maybe because we formed habits over a long period of time. Just like Booker T was saying, they were so familiar with the master that they didn't know what else to do. It was almost a weird comfortability there. It's almost like if you've been in a situation where maybe you've grown up in an abused home, where there's been a lot of abuse, physical abuse or verbal abuse. I've watched folks, or even maybe in a relationship, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and there's a ton of abuse from one side or the other. It is so strange. But that person, instead of getting out of that terrible situation, strives to go back and to please the person that's abusing them. It's this weird sort of dynamic. And it can be that same way with us as Christians. And so, I know some of you guys hate this stuff, but we've got to talk about it. We talked about in last chapter how Jesus justifies us, right? It's a legal term, just as if we'd never sinned. Hit that light again there, Hezekiah Thundercat. Thank you. That's in the past. It's done. I forget who was saying it this morning, but it is done. Finished, finito, just as if you've never sinned. He's wiped away all your sins, past, present, future, done. I love that song. You guys remember it? It is done. I love that song because it is. It's been paid for on the cross. We have been saved from the penalty to sin. It's a one-time experience. It's positional, and it's God's work for us. And it makes us perfect in this life. At least that's how God sees us. Okay? Now, there's the real, where the rubber meets the road is sanctification. And that's what's happening presently if you're a born-again believer. You know, some of those habits, some of those sins that formed in your life have been there a long time. And they've got a strong hold on you. And that's that we're being saved from the power of sin. And it's a lifelong experience as we get rid of those old habits, those old sins. Now, I've watched people, they get saved, boom, bam, pow, drugs are gone, cigarettes are gone, alcohol is gone, sleeping with other men or women is gone, living with folks gone, it's all gone, cheating, lying. Some I've watched where it takes time as God is working this stuff out of us. And then eventually, we're going to be glorified. God justifies us. That's a one-time deal. In the past, sanctifies us during this present life, and then he glorifies us in this future life. And that's he'll do that in eternity. There's a bumper sticker. You guys may have seen this. Have you? How many have seen this bumper sticker? Okay. There's that bumper sticker, and I know what they're trying to say. Okay, right? Mm-hmm. What does that say to you? Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. What does that say to you?
We make mistakes.
Yeah. What?
We make mistakes, but we're always going to be forgiven.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the sentiment, right? It's in other words, hey, we're not perfect, but we're forgiven, right? We still make mistakes, just like you. We're not higher and mighty than you are, right, as a Christian. That's the sentiment. But it's not really true. Some of you are looking at me, what? Do I need to leave the church? Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. But it's more than you being just forgiven. You're also empowered. You're not just forgiven. If God just forgave your sin and said, why don't you just go ahead and continue in it? Well, that would be pretty sick. That would be pretty sad. You mean you're forgiving me from all my sin? You know this sin is destroying my life. You know this sin in my life is destroying my heart, my relationships. Sometimes it's destroying my body, right? Wouldn't that be terrible if he just forgave you and left you in that pit? No, your God is so much better than that. He's saying, I'm going to save you and I'm pulling you out. I'm empowering you with who I am that you can go and live a godly life. So that first verse that we read in verses 1 and 2 is like super duper important. The question was, what should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? And what does some of your Bibles say in verse 2? Hit the light there, Hezekiah. I'm getting that. Sorry. What does some of your Bibles say in verse 2? What does it say?
By no means.
By no means. Good. What else?
Certainly not.
Certainly not. What else?
God forbid.
May it never be?
God forbid.
God forbid. You know that word, God forbid? I like that. I think King James uses that one. And it hits the nail on the head on that one. The word in Greek is meginamai. Is the word. Meginamai. It's two. Anyway, meginamai. And it means just that. Like, you know, should we sin then? So that grace can abound more? And Paul said, like, I would say, like, no way, Jose. Are you stupid? You know, that would be the Darren paraphrase version. That's cray cray. You know what I'm saying? You just know. With the exclamation point. God forbid that we should think that. Well, God has saved you. He's called you. He's called me to a new life of righteousness, right? Of right living. And that's what he's done. Does that make sense, you guys? I mean, Let me go on and let me hit the next one here. Would somebody mind reading verses 3 and 4 for me? Okay, go ahead, Ash.
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Yep. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life.
Right. You know what? And I don't know if you... Verse 3, circle that, you know, first thing I would do, there's a little word there, no. And then it's also in verse 6, like the first three, it says, for don't you know? And then verse 6, it says, for you know. And then verse 16 says, don't you know? And you know, sometimes a lot of churches and teachers, they're all about, they're thinking, well, if you're going to preach grace, that we're saved by grace through faith alone, hey, that's dangerous. People are going to take advantage of it. They're just going to say, well, I'm forgiven anyway. Might as well sin, right? That's what they're going to do. So you can't do that. And so a lot of churches say, no, you have to be legalistic. You have to say, no, no, no. Don't, no, no, no. But it's not about N-O, N-O, N-O. It's about K-N-O-W. That's why I said circle each one of those. In verse 3, in verse 6, in verse 16, it's about no, no, no. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know the power that he's given you. He wants you to know the freedom of that. That's why we teach all of the Bible here. Listen, there's a lot of things we don't have at this church. We're a small church, right? Small congregation. Nobody's a millionaire here that I know of. If you are, you're still absolutely welcome here.
Big Christian family,
absolutely. But it's, we want you to know the Lord. That's why we want to teach the whole Bible, so that you will understand what the Word of God means for yourself, that you'll apply it to your life. Because if you just know it in your head, you know what? You just become a knowledgeable hypocrite. Right? Do you know, everybody knows what a hypocrite is?
Nope.
Okay, good. A hypocrite is a Greek word for an actor. I heard somebody say no. And a hypocrite is a Greek word for actor. So when Jesus was calling out the religious leaders, remember? Back in Jesus' time, they didn't have theaters. They would have stages, you know, Greek plays. You guys remember those masks, the happy mask? I mean, you see them in people's houses. That creep me out.
Comedy and tragedy.
You know what I mean? It's like a happy, what is it?
Happy.
Yeah, it's like one's really happy and one's really sad or something. I don't know, they creep me out.
Comedy and tragedy.
Yeah, the tragedy, yes, the Greek tragedy, right. And so when the main actor would come out, they'd announce it with trumpets, and the actor would come out wearing his mask. And you know what? That actor was called a hypocrite. And so what Jesus was saying is, I do not want you to be a hypocrite. I don't want you to have a mask on when you're one way somewhere at church with your friends. You're Christian friend, and then I put on another mask when I'm doing, you know, whatever. I want you to be who you are in me. I want you to live a righteous life. And so, you know, when he's talking about baptizing, Joe, can you grab this side here? Thank you so much, son. We're going to move this table. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing, you guys. We're very casual here, so I've not, that word, baptized, you know, that word baptized that we just read in verses 3 and 4, that is the Greek word baptizo. And you're saying, wow, who cares? Well, there's a reason why I'm telling you. I felt like the Lord gave me an illustration, so I haven't even, now this is kind of a bad thing, I know, so I haven't even tested it out. So I know what I want to do, so if it turns out bad, okay? Just be patient with me. Don't throw a rock at me. But I want to leave an impression in your mind because, oh, thank you, honey. This is like Vanna White here, honey. Okay. Thank you.
That is dangerous.
Yes, there could be fire and explosions, but don't worry.
Yay!
Now, we just had an awesome baptism. You guys got to see the video. We saw little Vinnie Minster get baptized. And when we baptize somebody, it does two things. One, it identifies them. You know, Stephen, you're here somewhere. I remember seeing you. Stephen, come up here for a second. Okay, now Stephen, I love this shirt that Stephen has. He was at a camp, and they did this throwing thing where they got colored dye all over it, so it doesn't look quite as cool as it did before. But if you can see this shirt, thank you, you're doing an amazing job. Okay, it says right here, it says identity, brand new. And you see that little thumbprint or fingerprint? Okay, when you choose, thank you, you did an amazing job. when you profess Christ, when you ask Christ into your heart, when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and say, I don't want to live, I want to turn from my sins. I don't want to live that way. I want to live for you. He gives you a brand new identity. Brand spanking new. He doesn't do refurbs. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't take the old car and try to, like, you know, sand it down and blah, 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 blah. No, he's like, no, I want to give you something brand new. I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a new nature. And so when we baptized Ashley, that was a big step for her. She's been coming to this church for a little while, and she realized, man, I am not saved. I'm just a churchgoer. I want to give my heart to the Lord. And so we took her, and would you read that verse again? Who read that last time? That verse 3 and 4 from you real quick. Ashley, would you read it nice and loud, or did you already shut your Bible? Read it nice and loud.
For do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Right. Okay, so what we're saying here, when we took Ashley and we brought her under, we took her and we said, you want to make this public proclamation of faith. You're telling all these people now here that you want to be identified with Jesus, that you want your life to be different, right? And so we put her in the water, and we put her, what we do it is we put them all the way under. And then 5 or 6 minutes later, slosh them around a little bit. Because we want, that's identifying with Christ's death. You know what I'm saying? When you put them all the way under the water, you're saying, I want to leave all that sin. I want to leave that old life, that old thinking behind me. Dead. Just like Christ died. And then what we do is, we don't let Ashley get up herself. Why not? Maybe she's lazy. No. What we do is, we have somebody on either side. This time it was Gary and Tom and me. And we have one person on either side and one person in the back. We put her under, and then she's raised up to new life. Not by her own strength, right? It's a picture of rising up, right, to a new life. Now, and the reason why it says a new life, now let's say, Ashley, I'm going to pick something, okay? So don't, you know, this is not saying this is what Ashley did, okay? I'm just simply saying, let's say Ashley was known as Ashley the heroin addict, or Ashley the floozy who sleeps around a lot, or whatever it is, okay? She wants to leave that old stuff behind. She wants a new life, a new identity. So when Ashley comes out of that water, she's saying, I want to walk with Jesus now. That means that even though Ashley was known as, oh, Ashley the floozy, right? Now she's not going to be known as that anymore, because she's starting a new life. She's going a new direction. She wants to represent Christ now. Does that make sense, everybody? And that word baptize means to immerse in, okay? Which is why we go all the way under the water. We don't just sprinkle it on there. It means to immerse in. And in the Greek, it would be used of like of a sunken vessel. Like, let's say you put a ship on the ocean and it sank and went all the way underwater. It was baptized. It wasn't a Christian term, right? And originally, the root word of baptized was used for cloth. It was used for dyeing cloth. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, and baptism, it doesn't save you, okay? God's work in your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ saves you, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say to that thief on the cross who received him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I can't baptize you. Never mind. He didn't say that. He said, today you'll be with me. In Acts chapter 10, I think, the Holy Spirit fell on the people, and Peter was like, wow, I guess what should we do? I guess we'll baptize you now. I mean, The Holy Spirit's already indwelled your hearts. So, and I want to say this because you might have noticed that some people have gotten baptized, but there's no real change in their life.
Yet.
Well, that may be because it could be yet. That's correct. Or, honestly, it might be that there's been no real change in their heart. Like, I want to show you two different things, okay? I've got two different cloths here, right? And so I'm going to baptize, immerse this cloth into this water. Okay, you ready? All stand by. Pretty exciting. Ready? Look at this. So we have a white cloth, and now when we take this out of the water, we've baptized it, what do we have?
A white cloth.
A wet white cloth, pretty much. There's no change. Right? Right. Now, however, when we're identifying publicly with Jesus Christ, when we do that, we take, hopefully this is red, if it is, it'll make a great illustration like I'm trying to do. Oh, look at that. By the blood of Jesus Christ, doing that internal work in our hearts, that regenerative work in our heart and in our spirit. When that happens, God has already done a work in a heart. See, if we just baptize somebody, right, that hasn't already had that, you know, desire for God, we're just basically taking a white cloth, dip it in water, and it comes out a white cloth. But if there's been an internal transformation, right, that word baptizo means originally to dip, right? And here we're going to see, we're going to baptize it in the blood of Jesus Christ, a work that's already been done in the heart. So now we're baptizing, we're confirming that, we're proclaiming that, we're identifying with Jesus Christ publicly. Okay, we take this white cloth and we put it here in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now, when we baptize this cloth, and I bring it out, this white cloth. Can you guys see that okay? Now let me ask you a question. Is this white cloth the white cloth anymore?
No.
What is it?
Covered in the blood.
Not only that, it's not only covered, but actually...
saturated.
It's changed. I know what you're trying to say, but it's changed. Like, in other words, if it's made its way into every fiber of this cloth. Does that make sense? And now, I'm going to hold up this cloth. What do you notice about the two cloths? Are they the same or are they different?
They're different.
Can you see the difference? I mean, they're both a cloth. They're both cut the same way. They're both folded the same way. That's only because I'm one scrunched up, you little punk. But what has happened? One is now different. One is no longer a white cloth. You understand?
Yes.
It's been changed. It's been different. And so I say all that to say, when you get baptized, when God has done that internal work in your heart and mind, there will be a change in your life. In other words, you're not going to be... And I'm afraid to even say a name, and then because everybody's going to identify. Okay, so let me think.
Use your name.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, we'll just use generalities. I can be my name. Okay, so you're no longer the pot-smoking family. You're the Christ-living family. I used to be in bondage to drugs, to sin, but you know what? I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to be identified. I'm going to be baptized, immersed, and dipped. Does that make sense? There's a change in your life. If there's no change in your heart, then you're still just going to be the wet, white cloth. But if there's a change in your heart, a transformation occurs, right? And in that baptism, it's not even talking about real, it's not even talking about water baptism. It's talking about what happens in your heart, in your life. There's going to be a change in your life. There is. So that means if you're known as the angry guy, everybody knows you as the angry guy. Okay. Well, you know what? If you're in Christ, you know what? You want to get rid of that stuff. You want to leave that stuff there. You want to crucify that flesh. You want to leave it in the water because you don't want to be known as the angry guy anymore. You want to be known as the Christian guy. You might be the gossip gal, right? And you're splitting gossip. That's who you are. But no, when you want to be identified differently. You know what I mean? You're the loose girl, the loose guy, the whatever, the greedy person. I know you as the greedy guy. No, when I want to identify with Christ, I want to be different. I want people to see me, to know me as different. That's why there's a transformation. Right? Yes.
By what you're saying, it's a spiritual baptism that occurs, and then the physical baptism.
Yes, the spiritual baptism is what's taking place in your heart and mind. Yeah. In your heart. And that's when Christ changes us, right?
Yeah.
And then the physical baptism comes afterwards. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for having this work out right, an illustration. But I want you to have that illustration in your mind. That's what baptized is. That's what the root word of baptized means. To dip, to immerse, so that something is different that you see. And there has to be something different. And I have to be careful here when I say this, because two things happen. There's the person here that's right now thinking, they always think this when I say this, oh my God, I'm not a Christian! You know what I mean? There's always the person, there's, you know, one or two, they have that, you know, and they're thinking, so I don't want to push you over the edge. But there's also the folks, the guy or the girl in here that's thinking, I'm a Christian. I don't look any different, talk any different, act any different. But, and I want to tell you and to show you that there's got to be a difference in your life. Now, sometimes that can be immediate, or sometimes it'll take a longer time, right? So you got to be quick. You can't be quick to judge somebody. Sometimes it takes a long time. But there will be a change. If there is no change in your heart, in your direction, in your life, then chances are, I don't think you're safe. I've had to tell some people that. That's not very fun. But I love them enough to say, I don't know if I see enough fruit in you. You're asking me, and I want to tell you because I love you. Because the difference is heaven or hell for eternity, right? And who cares if I think you're all religious or not, if you go to hell? Who cares if you impress me? Like sometimes people want to impress the pastor or say this. Or, who cares? I'm a knucklehead just like everybody else in here. I'm no different. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I am. So you need to ask yourself and think about that. You know, have I made that commitment? Have I made that decision in my heart, you know, is there fruit in my life? And if you don't know, ask somebody who will love you enough to be honest with you. Now, I'm not saying do this in the heat of the argument, you know, like you'll see the guy, I don't think you're saved!
Well, I don't think you're saved either!
You know what I mean? Never do that. That's stupid. Don't do that in an argument. That's just stupid. That's like the trump card, you know what I mean? You pushed me to the point where I'm raging in the cage, and now you're going to throw all the things and say, I don't think you're saved. You don't either. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a loving person who said, you know, ask of somebody who will be truthful with you. Point of non-conflict where you can say, you know what, I'm not sure. So I would make that calling and election sure the Bible says, right? You know, in that verse 1-2, and I see it up here where it says, you know, should we continue in sin? I continue in sin. I wrote it down because I didn't think I would remember it. Is in the present active tense. What does that mean?
Who cares?
No, it's in the present active tense. And so what Paul is saying here, he means
happening
habitual
now.
Sin. It means living a lifestyle of sin. Does that make sense? Not that you might not occasionally stumble. I stumbled this week. You know what I mean? Maybe some of you stumbled this week.
I'm not proud of that. My heart breaks. I feel terrible about it. I feel like the big loser. But that's not the norm in my life. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So that's what Paul's saying. I don't want you to have that habitual sin in your life. Whatever it is. And what's different for you is different for you. And don't you be so quick to point a finger at her. Look at your own heart. Examine your own life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. I have that written down, to be honest with you. I don't know why I wrote it down. So let's hope that it actually pertains to what we're talking about. Otherwise, I'll feel dumb and you guys can kind of laugh at me behind me. I think it's Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Usually when I write this stuff down... okay.
Salvation.
And like, it pertains! Okay, it pertains, sister. Would you mind reading it? Ephesians 2, 1 through 3.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, good. Okay, what do you, read that first sentence again.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked.
Okay, it says you
were.
Right? Right? In the sins in which you once walked. Now, again, it's not saying... Listen, you know, okay, for example, this week I lost, just being transparent here, one of my sins, I lost my temper. I lost my temper for about a minute, okay? And so, and I cursed. So just now he's like, oh, great, and I cursed. So I had to bring everybody in, you know? And of course, the kids are freaking out, you know, they are freaking out. You know, this one's really mad at me because I, you know, this one's like, oh my God, Dad, you don't do that. You know, you know, and it was 100% wrong, and I'm embarrassed about it, and I'm sharing it to be honest with you, not to say it's okay. Okay, I'm telling you, it was sin, it was absolutely wrong, but they were very much freaked out by it. Lasted about a minute, now. And the reason why they were so freaked out is because that's not an everyday thing in the house. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like, back in my old life, I'm Italian. Let me tell you, whoever cursed and was the loudest wins. That's how I'm raised. So I can outdo anybody in here. Right? So I had to bring the whole family in, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh. And I have to apologize to each one of the kids, and they tell me, you know, this is how it made me feel. Yeah, I understand. Yep, your dad was absolutely wrong there. Would you please forgive me? I wasn't thinking. You know, I give a reason, blah, blah, blah. And we use it as a teaching tool. So we're not saying that those sins don't occasionally occur in your life. They're going to. But that can't be the habit of your life. If that's who I was like, that's a normal experience. Oh, it's just Dad blowing up again. Well, that's something's wrong there. Something's got to be dealt with. Okay, see what I'm saying?
I don't know what I was talking about before.
Oh, right, I'm sorry. Okay, go, sorry, read again. Right, that's you.
Yeah. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind.
Yes. He's saying that's the way you once lived. And as I think it was, you know, Ashley who was talking about this at the youth group a few... We need to put off, Scripture says, do you remember? I don't even know if maybe you remember the Scripture verse, but you were sharing it at youth group, how God wants us to put off our old self, like a garment, put off our old ways. And you described it, I remember, as taking off like these old, sweaty, stinky, junky clothes that you wear and you become so familiar with, you know, the favorite t-shirts that's got holes in the armpits that stink, no matter how many times you wash it. You know, it's taking it off and putting on the new clothes, putting on the new self, right? Righteousness and holiness. And we do that every single day. Your life is to glorify God. And you living a lifestyle of sin or a habit of sin is just not okay. Now, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I don't want you to feel condemned. But I'm also here to tell you the truth. If you just go on living a lifestyle of sin, and that's who you are, then you're being a hypocrite. Or I'm being a hypocrite. And that's wrong. And God doesn't want that for you. He's not saying, yeah, you're a hypocrite, now you kick you. No, he's saying, I don't want that for you. You're bound up in that sin. It's dragging you down. Do you know what I'm saying? He's not saying that to condemn you. It's because he loves you. He doesn't want you to live that way any longer. You want to be identified with Christ. I want to see a difference in Ashley's, the way she speaks. I've been noticing a difference in how she speaks. Now, maybe there's going to be a difference in how she acts. There should be. Is there a difference in you? Is there a difference in me? If you've known me for a long time, you'll see a difference. Well, it got quiet. So either this is really good sermon or very bad. One of the two. It's not a license to sin. Hit that like. Okay, God's grace is not a license to sin.
Mia first.
If you notice her name, Mia first. I love that.
Your eyes are so sinister.
Yes, eyesight, self-centered, absolutely. Mia first. That's not what it's about. A true Christian desires to be free from sin, not to sin freely. It's not a license to sin. If you think that, Paul's telling you and telling me, God forbid, Megiddemi, you're crazy. Oswald Chambers said, get along with Jesus and you can tell him that you do not want sin to die out in you, or else tell him that at all costs, you want to be identified with his death and his resurrection. But the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you if you're a believer. You don't realize it, but you have that untapped power. It's like you've got a bank account with 10 gazillion dollars in it. But are you using it? You know what I'm saying? Romans 6:4 says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. I just love that. Get that light real quick there, Hezekiah. Verse 5 says, it starts with if. So, that's a big question. If we've been united with him, and that's a question you have to ask yourself. Have you really? If I see somebody who's saved, they're going to want to start to know what the Word says. They're going to want to start to be around other Christians because they want to learn. They want to grow. They're going to want to start to honor the Lord, right? It's like this. I'm a computer guy. I used to own a computer company years ago. And you remember that little...
I thought you were literate.
Yeah, I am. But I was a computer guy. And George was like, actually, he was one of my best friends at the time. An Intel on their computers would go, they would put Intel inside to know what kind of processor was on the inside, right? And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. It says, if we've been united with him in his death, then certainly we will be united with him in his resurrection. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Or some of your translations might say, the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And I think of this verse in Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified to Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Listen, I live for Christ. Everything you do, everything you think, everything you say needs to be for him. Everything. Our thought process needs to change. How you communicate with people. How you respond to people. Well, that's just how I am. Well, that's just not how he is. And that's not who he wants me to be. You know what I mean? And he's not how he wants you to be. Because Jesus inside is. And just like Intel stamping that little thing on the computers, Intel inside, Jesus says, Jesus inside. And so your main job isn't plumbing. Your main job isn't cleaning. Your main job isn't fire extinguishing. I don't know. I was trying to think what you... Anyway,
nobody knows what Carl does.
Whatever it is, your main job is to glorify Christ, right? And so you're doing one of two things in your life every single day. You're either glorifying God with how you live, either giving him glory by how you live, by what you say, or honestly, you're taking away glory. That's a scary thought. Think about that. You're either glorifying God with how you live, or you're taking glory from God. And again, not meaning that as condemnation. But God has freed us, man. You are free. Don't go back to that life of slavery. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You don't have to live that way anymore. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't do it. And don't let yourselves be burdened by that yoke of slavery. Right? He has set you free from the law of sin and death. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. Well, I think there's so much more. I think should I stop here? Okay. Otherwise, you'd be here till like 2 o'clock. You know, can I just say one more thing? I'm sorry, pardon me. I know you're like, oh, we're done! No. Real quick. This is just kind of a cool thing. Well, I thought it was cool, okay? If you look in verse, what is it? In verse 5, it says, if we've been united with him, see that word united? That's the only time it's ever used in the Bible. It's only used one time in the Bible. And it's symphatos. If I remember correctly. And it says, if you've been united with him, then you're surely going to be raised with him. But that united, that symphatos, it means being planted together. In other words, have you ever grafted a plant? Mm-hmm. Is that what you... Okay, if you've ever grafted a plant, what happens is, like, you cut off a branch of one plant, okay, and you kind of, like, tape it together. You ever had a lineman or something like that? No one's ever had that? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, what happens is you cut off, you know, let's say you have a lemon tree and you cut off a little bit of the branch there and you cut off part of the line, right? And you kind of take the two and you graft it together. And then you tape it together, right? However you do it. And then what happens is...
Cut it in a V.
What?
You cut it in a V and put it together and then tape it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And then what happens to that grafted, right? You've got the...
It grows together into one.
It grows together into one. And it grows, getting the root nourishment from the, what do you call it, the stalk? What do you call the?
The bulb.
Stem.
The what?
The
stem, the trunk, the root, yes. It gets that from the lifeblood of the plant. And so if you've been united with him, what he's saying is, that's what you're being grafted in, to Christ. You're now getting your lifeblood from him. You're getting your new nature from him. You're getting new desires from him. You're getting new thoughts and new attitudes from him. And then what happens is, if you're truly united with him, that's going to grow together into this beautiful plant.
You've been cut off from the old days.
Good! What? You've been cut off.
You're cut off from the old roots. All your versions now is coming from the new.
That's good. Carl, we teach you next week.
Yes.
That's really good. Yes.
Along with that, the power to overcome sin doesn't come from us, from the old. It comes from the new. It comes from Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, this isn't a struggle I do by myself, because I will fail.
That's it.
Yeah.
But Gary, I thought you'd walk with the Lord for a while, and you're like really super spiritual and stuff.
Yeah, don't count on that.
So are you telling me that you're going to fail if you're doing it in your own flesh and strength?
Yep.
Well, minute by minute. Ask Mary Kate, she'll tell you.
She has, actually. No. But that's true. Listen, if you could have done this on your own, right, you'd have done it already. You can't escape without Jesus crying out, Lord, will you free me from this? I want to be grafted into you. I want that life-giving blood and that life-giving, you know, I don't know, I wish I knew more, plant juice. I don't know, whatever. To bring to life in me and to grow. Help me to grow. Yes.
But it's not, it doesn't necessarily.
Oh, wait a minute. Call Miracle Grow. Yeah. That was really great. You guys are good. That's what he is. Jesus is the Miracle Grow. Okay, go ahead.
I think for some people, though, they get excited. I've received Jesus, okay, in my head, in my heart, whatever I am. But the Lord, at the very beginning, gave me free choice. He didn't say I had to do this, all right? So the way I've been living, even though I've been a good person, and I try not to, it isn't necessarily instantaneous.
Correct. Yeah.
All right.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's
sometimes
not. I agree.
People have these marvelous
absolutely
things, and then
yes,
other times it's kind of like,
yes,
oops, wait a minute.
Grows on you.
Yeah.
George, what did you say?
It grows on you.
It's interesting.
Like your explanation about the plant.
Yes.
That didn't happen instantaneous.
Absolutely.
But as long as we keep hanging out with people who are knowledgeable or share values or, you know, and we get into the Word, we hear the Word, hopefully we understand it.
And apply
sometimes
it, right?
I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The actual words, it just keeps growing on you.
Yes. And that's so, what you're saying is perfect. Because it's not, again, no, no, no.
Right.
It's no, no, no. And, you know, Jesus said, I remember in John 15:5, you know, for you experiencing God, people. Anybody remember that verse? I am divine. He who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As you sit and hang, sometimes you don't always see the big stuff. You know, if you ever watch an orange tree, like if you ever look at it and watch it grow an orange, I've never seen that. What happens is I drive by, you know, what's that, Midway Farms or whatever. Okay, they, wheat, month, 6. You know, after a long time, I'm like, hey, there's all, look at those, hey, there's oranges there. And that's kind of like as you read, as you get into the Word, as you apply it to your life, as you hang out with other believers, as you're seeking him, if you're asking God to do that work and listening with open ears, you're going to grow. And that fruit's going to be here, and that fruit is going to be here to last. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
What
Amen.
It will produce as you graft yourself into him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Any other closing comments?
I want to close. Well, I don't want to close, but I want to close for myself. These verses in John 8, 31 to 36, I think, capsulizes the whole thing. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word or live or dwell,
and my word. You are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. They asked him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be set free? And there's many people, religious people. But Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, that whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
So are you abiding in His Word?
Are you abiding in the vine? And that vine is Jesus Christ.
Well, you're just reading the Word.
Yeah.
Got to be a difference.
It's more than knowledge.
And no. A disciple is denying himself.
Anybody else? Okay, yes. I just feel like reminding in our women's Bible study, we talked about this a little bit, and the we're talking a lot about what we have to do, but to take pressure off of ourselves, just be available, take the steps that you need to take, and let the Holy Spirit do what He's going to do through you. Don't wake up and go, okay, today I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to trust. I'm not going to swear. I'm just not going to do it. Well, you, in your own strength, can't do that. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit and let His Word nourish you, and then watch and let the Lord just flow through and shine through. And He will do it because He wants the glory. It's not anything you or I can do. It's what the Lord can do through us. In our weaknesses, He has made strong.
So I don't want anyone here to feel condemned. If the Lord's convicting you of something, good. If the Lord's convicting me of something, and again, it's always that good, bad. Oh, right. But thank you. And right, we're human beings, not human doings. Right? God wants us to be abiding in Him. Sucking that nourishment from Him and growing. Right? Not just in knowledge, but to know Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. Anybody else before we close?
Yeah, just when you brought that picture of the Appomattox, when the president signed it, they were all free. But what happened after that? There was a war. There was a rebellion against that order. And there's a spiritual war going on. And if you don't fight back, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And there's a weapon right here, the Bible.
You know what? We didn't get
the fight.
There's actually a couple verses down. He uses a word. He wants you to be an instrument. And that word in Greek means weapon. And I wanted to get to it. We didn't. But that's what he wants you to be, a weapon in his hand against sin. Right? A weapon to be used for the Lord. You've got a purpose. He's called you to a purpose. It's cool. The King of the Universe says, I want to use you. I want to use this knucklehead, this Italian knucklehead. How cool is that? You, of all people. Chris. You, Michael. Surely. Are you kidding? That's who He is. He's awesome. Let Him glorify Himself.
You know, in verse 2 up there, and it relates back to baptism, it says, mark my words, if I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And that's not just, that means every outward physical action that we take to try to be good enough to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And there's people that think, well, just because I got wet, now I'm saved. No, it's of no value if the heart change does not take place first.
Amen.
Well, I'm of Abraham, so I'm... No, you're not! You know, I'm circumcised. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, I got baptized at Broadway Christian Church. It doesn't matter.
What about my shirt?
Well, it doesn't matter what your shirt says. What does your heart say?
And guys, listen to this. As we close out in prayer, I just want to let you know,
I don't know if you noticed this, but look what happened when some of the...
Oh, it rubs off on
you. What happened?
Rubs off on you.
Huh. When did you notice that? Some of that kind of rubbed off a little bit on the white cloth sitting right there. Isn't that... Maybe we should be doing the same thing. Yeah, Elijah, before this, that we're really going to close. This is the last thing. You can close us.
That kind of looks like, you know, the red one's like a real, like, Christian, and the white one's actually seeing
that's right.
Assimilation by association.
Let's pray. God, I just want to say thank you for such richness in your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us the visual illustrations like that, Lord. Thank you for calling us, Lord, not just forgiving us, but calling us to a new life, Lord. May we never be the type of people, Lord, or may we stop being the type of people that says, God will forgive me, so I'm just going to continue on sinning. Help us to be the people to say, no, we're going to trust in you, Lord God. And we're going to say, Lord, will you do whatever it takes in our lives to help us to follow you, to glorify you, to honor you. Will you do that right now? Will you just ask him in your own heart, just right now, Lord, do whatever it takes to get this sin, you name it, whatever sin it is for you, out of my life and replace it, Lord, with your resurrection power so that I can affect other people, so that dyed cloth can get on other folks and lead them to you. Lord, we love you. We pray your blessing over this entire body, Lord. We thank you so much for each person here loving and serving and caring and encouraging, Lord God. I pray that no one would feel condemned, because that's just from the enemy. But I pray if they're being convicted, Lord God, that you would speak to them clearly and give them and empower them, Lord, to live a new life that you called them to, so that they wouldn't be known as the person they were before. They'd be known and identified as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ. So whatever that is for each one of us, Lord, kill it. Help us to put it to death, or put it to death for us, Lord God, that we may walk in the new life that you've given us, a life of righteousness and a life that honors you. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We pray your blessing on this body. In Jesus Christ, even right now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. And we'll see you Tuesday, then. Wednesday.